All right, let's look in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading in verse 20. I want to share a message entitled, Truth Shall Make You Free. And John chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 20. Remember, this Sunday coming up, our services will be at the usual times. So it's always interesting whenever we change the schedule around for whatever the reason is. You know, there's always somebody that doesn't catch the information. I wouldn't want to say who didn't catch it this time, but there's always a couple of people who show up when the service is not supposed to be starting yet, and so it's always good. But we had a great time this past Sunday, and the Lord blessed in a great way, so we're looking forward to this Sunday coming up. Truth shall make you free. John chapter 8 and verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. And then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus saith unto them, if you are Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us understand the word tonight. Help us to make some practical applications in our life as we consider freedom, Lord. Freedom as a nation, as a people. Lord, freedom as believers in Christ. To be set free from the bondage of our sin. To be assured of heaven as our home. I pray, God, you just speak to us in a special way tonight. That you impress upon us, Lord, the prayers that need to be offered up. And God, we might be able to testify over and over again of the great grace of God that rests upon us. And so bless the preaching of the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, verse 32 is our text verse. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And Jesus, we know at this point in his earthly ministry, is at the temple. He's in the temple teaching, and he is confronting the Jews about their sin. They needed to be set free from the bondage of their sin. Their proclamation to him was that they were of Abraham's seed. And as we read through this, I always get tickled in the discourse that is developed between Jesus and these Jews in the temple, and the proclamations that they are making, declarations they're making about who they are. And they said, we're Abraham's seed. Well, Ishmael was born of the bondwoman. And we know that he was born of Abraham, but he was born of the bondwoman, which was a picture, if you will, of being born of the flesh. And literally, when you think about their position as being born of the bondwoman, we are by choice, we are children of disobedience. And children of Israel were children of disobedience. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And so we're children of disobedience by our choice. But the reality is that by nature, we're the children of wrath. In verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so while they're making the statement, well, wait a minute, we're Abraham's seed, all they're doing is identifying the need for them to be set free. Because they're children of disobedience, and by nature they're children under the wrath of God, and they needed to be set free from that. However, when you think of the seed of Abraham, there was also the Isaac that was born of Abraham, who was born of the free woman. And Paul deals with this in Galatians to a farther extent, but I just want to kind of highlight these two relationships because that's not the focus of the message tonight. But I want you to see one was born in bondage and one was born as free. And by faith, we become the sons of God. In John 1:11 says, he came into his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so when we have faith, we can have literally become a child of God. Isaac was the child that was born by faith to the free woman. And so by faith, we are set free from the bondage of our sins through faith in Christ. By rejecting Christ, and that's what Christ is trying to get across to them, by rejecting him, they are really showing that they are literally the children of the devil. And sometimes we don't want to be that harsh. We don't want to be that plain. We don't want to be that direct. But the reality is when someone rejects Christ, they're the enemy of God, and they're the child of the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13, tells us, says, For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, who in shall be according to their works. And so Paul is helping us to understand there are those that try to deceive others by presenting themselves as an angel of light, and they're nothing more than an angel of the devil. They're a child of the devil because of the fact they have not come into the truth of receiving Christ as a free man, as a free opportunity to be delivered from the bondage of our sins. And so they're in a position that's opposing God. And so we're talking about freedom tonight. Tomorrow we celebrate Independence Day, and we're celebrating freedom. And Jesus, in dealing with these Pharisees and dealing with these Jews, he wanted them to understand the difference between being of the seed of Ishmael or being of the seed of Isaac. It's a spiritual condition of whether you're really born free or not. Even though they were of the seed of Abraham, they were still in bondage. And he wants them to get the truth. He's trying to explain to them who he is, who the Father is, what the Father's will is, and what's going to be accomplished when he dies for them, that they might be set free. And so he states to them, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus, when he stood before Pilate in chapter 18 of John, in verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And so he's very direct. Pilate's very direct. "I want to know, are you a king or aren't you a king?" He said, "Well, you say I am, but I'm telling you what I am. I came here to bear truth. And because I came to bear truth, everyone that knows the truth or receives the truth will hear my voice." Then Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And that's so significant because Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth." And Pilate's asking, what is truth? And right in front of the truth that is presented to man, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto him, "I find no fault in him at all." And so truth, it's so important for us to look at truth. And think of everything that we are as a nation and a people right now, and what we're dealing with politically. I'll tell you, we need truth in America again. And if we want to be a free people, we need truth and honesty in how we do all of our dealings as a nation, as leaders or governors or presidents or whatever it may be. There needs to be truth there. But there's truth that goes beyond that, and that is America needs to hear the truth of the Word of God. And because real liberty and real freedom is going to come through truth, and they can't experience liberty and freedom if they don't know the truth. Yes, and so we need to be honest with people. We need to be straightforward with them to help them to know who Christ is. And so when we think about truth, I think, first of all, we need to study truth. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of people that are studying a lot of things. It's nothing more than error and hypocrisy and falsehood. And we need to be studying truth. I just think of, you know, what's presented in our public schools in the yellow, even all the way down into elementary level, in presenting kids about this human sexuality and all this, that, and the other is transgender. That's a lie. It's a lie. So I can't understand or comprehend why would parents subject their children to false information. I don't understand that. You say, "I want my kids to be free in a nation that's free." Then you need to teach them truth. And we have a problem in America because we do not study truth anymore. We study what everybody's whim is or what everybody feels like doing rather than studying what real truth is, whether it be in the area of science or whether it be in the area of sociology or whether it be in the area of theology. We have abandoned this concept of studying truth, and because we no longer study truth, we're losing our freedoms one after another. So what does that mean? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, you know this verse. It's a verse with the WANA program. All the kids always memorize. "Study to show thyself approved on the God of workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Studying truth just means this. Letter A is in your notes is this, is knowledge that is acquired. "Study to show thyself approved on the God of workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's knowledge acquired. You've got to get the information. It does no good in putting kids in classrooms and not teaching them anything. It does absolutely no good for people to come to church and not have the Word of God taught to them so they can gain knowledge. We need to study the Word of God. Our children need to study the Word of God. Why? Because the more we know of the truth of the Word of God, the greater freedoms that we're going to be able to enjoy. Why? Number one, there's approval. And there's approval. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." We must get back to the principle that we must live our life under the approval of God. Much of what goes on in Christianity is not approved of God. We have gotten so far away from the basics of what the truth of the Word of God says. How in the world can you say I'm pleasing God? How can you turn around and say I'm not pleasing God, but I expect His blessings on me? So approval. Not only that, but insightful. This matter of gaining knowledge, Acquiring knowledge means you become insightful. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. In other words, we ought to be able to start taking principles that we've comprehended what it is, and now have the insight to be able to apply it into my life, to be able to live according to what the principle is, not just learning and memorizing information, but now taking the information and seeing how does that plug into my life. We say, well, you need to be in church. When church doors are open, you need to be in church. Well, that's a good thing to learn. We learn that from a kid if you've been raised in a Christian home. That's a great thing to learn. But why? What is the meaning behind being in church whenever the doors are open? What is the process of enjoying and experiencing what God has for us in church when the doors are open? You have to have some insight. This matter of living the Christian life and living a life of freedom is being able to grasp and comprehend information and live it out in a very applicable way to where it is profitable in your life and in our society. I tell you, I can't believe just really, I don't want to be unkind, but I tell you, you listen to these different politicians, I can't believe how stupid they are. I just really can't understand it. How you can take and look at our country, whether it's dealing with immigration or whatever, but you look at the border and you just have people coming in our country, flooding into our country. It's not that you don't want to be a help to somebody, but anybody with any common sense understands it is not financially sustainable. And there are laws on the books that guide us on how we can bring people in here. But as soon as you say, adhere to the laws of the land, everybody goes ballistic. Why? Because they have no common sense. They have no insight. But it's the same way with the Christian life. We say these are principles by which we ought to live, and we memorize Bible verses, and then we never live that way because we do not have enough common sense to understand why that principle is significant and why God put it there for us to learn. So knowledge is acquired, gives freedom because we are seeking the approval of God. And because we seek the approval of God, it's giving us ability to have insight and discernment in our life. But not only that, but contextual. He says, rightly dividing the word of truth, keeping everything in context. I'm so sick and tired of listening to news and hearing new, what do you call them, little clips. What do they call them? Sound bites. Amen. Did you say that, hon? You're so smart. You get ice cream when we get done tonight. You know what America lives on? Sound bites. That's all the news is sound bites. And the sound bite that you hear has nothing by itself, does not present the context in which it was said. And so everybody's making all these decisions and getting all upset and all this division and all this conflict and everything else in our nation based on the fact of living on sound bites. We have to be contextual. The sad thing is there are all kinds of Christians that will take one verse they find in the Bible. Somebody will be on the internet. Somebody will be write a book, and you'll read one verse that's taken out of context, and all of a sudden your whole Christian life falls apart because you're so confused about what it means to be a Christian because you took Scripture out of context. I really believe with all my heart the number one violation of biblical study in 2018 is contextual violations. We do not keep the everything in context. That's your next point, Mike, contextual. Contextual, amen. I saw you were under great conviction back there. I was getting ready to sing Just As I Am, but I figured like, you need to put that point up. Contextual, you keep things in context. Because if I keep things in context, and I have insight to see how this information is valuable to my life. And whatever I do, I want to do as heartily as unto the Lord. I want God's approval. Then wait a minute. Now this knowledge that I'm acquiring is meaningful in my life. Boy, the more that I be able to grasp and be able to apply in that way, the more free I am. So study truth, knowledge acquired. Letter B is an example desired in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul challenges young Timothy about this matter of being an example. Notice a personal resolution in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And so here is a resolution that you have to make in matter of studying truth. Be an example to believers. We need people in America to be a godly example. We need people that are going to be examples to others by embracing and holding on to the truth. And listen, that takes a personal decision. That takes a personal resolution to say, I'll stand when no one else will stand. I was talking to my mother today, and she was talking about down in South Jersey there, and my nephew, one of my nephews, is the area he just moved into, and he's staying there. He got a house there and stuff. But there's no churches down there. There used to be good churches down there. There's no churches down there anymore. And the amazing thing is this, somewhere down the line, the churches that were good churches down there, there was a personal decision made by somebody, whether it had been the deacons or whether it had been the pastor or whether it just be the congregation itself, there was a personal decision, a resolution in the heart of somebody that just said, I'm not going to be an example of what the Bible says anymore. And so this is what everybody likes, and this is what everybody wants, and this is the direction everybody's going. And so for me to get everybody in my church, then that's the direction I'm going to go. And now the churches, they're so messed up doctrinally. It's amazing that they literally are just falling apart. And may I say this, America is falling apart in its fabric because of the fact that people do not want to be an example anymore. Making that decision that I might have to stay by myself, but I'm going to stand. I might have to do what's right by myself, but I'm still going to do what is right. Everybody else may do what is wrong, but I'm going to do what's right. Big thing right now with the Supreme Court appointee and all this, that, and the other, I'm really tickled by all the stuff that's going on with that. But everybody's worried about Roe versus Wade being overturned and all this, that, and the other. May I say, if people had a personal resolution that they believed life was life from the conception in the womb, it wouldn't make any difference how many laws you pass. There wouldn't be any abortion. But we as a society came to a point where we decided we're no longer going to personally make those decisions, and so we're not going to stand on these moral principles, and be, as a result of it, our nation is falling apart, and we're losing our freedom. Personal resolution, moral demonstration. It says, be thou an example of the believers. Okay, what kind of example should I be? The verse goes on, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In other words, be a moral, just person. Demonstrate that there is a God in heaven who has given you freedom from the bondage of your sin. And because you've been set free from the bondage of your sin, you're no longer captured by these immoral thoughts and character traits of someone who isn't even a saved person. And so we need to do what's right because it's right to do right, not because everybody else is doing right or not doing right. It's always right to do right. I don't care what the situation is. It's always right. And when you do wrong, admit it. I remember years ago when I was a kid. Hard to believe I was actually a kid once, but it did. I remember years ago when I was a kid, my dad always told us, boy, you knew you're in trouble when he said, boy. He said, boy, I'm telling you right now, you do something wrong, you admit it, you confess it, and be a man and take your punishment like a man and get it right. You know, people say things that are wrong, do things that are wrong, act wrong, whatever, but they won't acknowledge the wrong and get it right. So, moral example, studying truth should put me in as a moral agent. It should put me in a position where I demonstrate what morality is. But it's also doctrinal exposition. It says in verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Folks, don't give up on the Word of God. Learn the Bible, study the Bible, meditate on the Bible, read the Bible, explain the Bible, teach the Bible. You need doctrinal expositions so that we might be able to be free. People in America will be free just like you were set free from the bondage of your sin if you just tell them about who Jesus Christ is according to the Scriptures. You tell them what they need to do as a believer in Christ according to the Scriptures. And be doctrinal in your position and in your teaching and your fellowship. Why? Because doctrine is always going to give liberty. Well, there's maturity that is required. Maturity in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm getting moving here. I'll never get done this thing tonight. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 5. In other words, it's time for us to grow up. You know, everybody talks about our society and our young people don't grow up and, you know, they're this, that, and the other. Well, wait a minute. You know what I'm seeing across the board with Christians? We don't want to be mature. Paul was very clear. When he was a child, he fooled with and childish things. But when he became a man, he put those childish things away. And you've been saved a while, then bless God, there ought to be some maturity in your life. You ought to be growing in the Lord. You ought to be getting closer to God and farther away from the world. The closer you get to Christ, the more freedom you enjoy. Notice attention span. Why? In Hebrews chapter 11, 5 of verse 11, it says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. You know, you ever try to teach kids? I hate teaching little kids. You know, Jesus came and he died on the cross. He was God in the flesh. That's a hypostatic union. Now, you three-year-olds need to understand that, what the hypostatic union is. And you're talking to them, and the little girl is sitting on the side. Yes. The other day, my mommy got mad at my daddy. And I'm like, I'm just talking about the hypostatic union. What's the matter? Kids have a very short attention span. I'm afraid many times believers have a very short attention span. And we kind of zone out. And the reason why we zone out is because of the fact we're so consumed with quick texting and information that's being passed that when somebody stands up and tries to talk for 45, 50 minutes or an hour or whatever, within the first 10 minutes, people start zoning out. I see you when I'm preaching. I know who's zoning out. And I can tell whose phone's on vibrate because all of a sudden the pew you're sitting in starts vibrating. So I don't understand why I'm not enjoying my freedom in Christ because it's time to grow up. You know, all I thought about when I was growing up, I can't wait till I'm 18 years old to get out of this house. And when I get out of this house, then nobody's going to tell me what to do. And I went in the Marine Corps. Amen. Our attention span is so short. And we need to allow the Lord to grow us and mature us. Why? Because God has so much he wants to say to us. We need to mature as a citizen of our great country, America, because of the fact we need to learn what we should be and how to interact with people and how to be able to be successful and how to guide our finances and how to keep our country strong and how to keep our country safe. We need to mature. I'm going to tell you, it takes some time to figure that stuff out. But our attention span is short. Education confirmed in verse 12. It says, for the time For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need of one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat. And so we need to confirm that we must be learning. You never stop learning. You never stop learning. If it's about life, you don't stop learning. If it's about the Word of God, you ought to be learning. You ought to be increasing in the knowledge of the Word. And it is no good for us to be hemmed in and captured with a spirit of bondage because of the fact that we're just not willing to get more information to figure out what we need to do and need to gain more information. I put a new garage door on my garage, and I put a door opener on that thing. I spent more time reading the directions than I did putting it up, and it still isn't working, amen? But I guarantee you tomorrow it's going to work. Now I'm going to get in high gear, and it's going to lift that door up anyway. But I don't know how to do that. So what do? You learn. You don't know how to do something, learn. I hear people, well, I just don't know how to do that. Then learn. Do something to learn how to do it. Why? Because of the fact it'll give you greater freedom and greater opportunities. It'll open up a broad way for you to go and a broad way for you to accomplish some things. I've had so many jobs over the years. I've done so many different things. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't know how to do them when I did them. I was talking to someone the other day. They said they liked my back room that I put on the back of my house in the family room. They were all excited about it. I said, yeah, well, it looks good to you, but I know where the mistakes are because I did it. Amen. You need to learn. You need to be always growing. Why? Because there's freedom when you gain knowledge. The more knowledge you get, the more mature you become. Then there's the application that is needed in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Do you want to walk around in diapers as a Christian the rest of your life? But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised thereby. So there must be maturity. So the first thing is study truth. Second thing is believe truth. It does not matter if you got all kinds of truth, you've heard all kinds of information, but you don't believe it. You know, I always get tickled. You hear these different people say, well, I know everybody talks about the Holocaust, but that never happened. You know, I mean, come on. There's plain truth right in front of your eyes, and you say, I don't believe it happened. Well, listen, as a Christian, you need to believe truth. Why? There's miraculous possibilities. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Let's get out of the defeated realm, and let's get into the liberty realm where we believe all things are possible. Well, I just can't get my finances in order. Then why don't you do something radical and maybe give a big offering? You say, well, that's stupid. No, it's not. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. When you give by faith, trusting God, God gets involved with your finances. Well, I just don't believe I can lead anybody to the Lord. I've talked to a lot of people. Why don't you triple the amount of time you're talking to people? Not the same person. And if you talk to three people every day, then talk to 12 people every day. You say, why? Because all things are possible to him that believeth. Miraculous possibilities. We are not living in 2018 because of the fact we want to lose. We're living in 2018 with the reality that all things are possible and my God can do everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I can do all things according to his power and to his grace, and I'm just going to be dumb enough to believe God for the miraculous possibilities. Eternal realities. I put a bunch of verses in here. You can look them up. Didn't all talk about the reality of eternity. We are all going to end up in eternity one day. You're not going to escape it. Either you'll be in eternity in heaven or you'll be in eternity in hell. And based on whether you believe truth of who Christ is will determine which place you're going. Not only that, believe truth about the miraculous possibilities, eternal realities, but present liberties. Realize that Christ has set you free. And if he has set you free, then live in that freedom. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free and not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. How stupid would it be for me, after being saved for, I don't know, 35 or 38 years, whatever it is, at this stage in my life, say, well, you know, I used to drink alcohol. I think I'll go ahead and have a drink. Everybody else is drinking alcohol. I think I'll go ahead and drink alcohol. And then, boom, I'm right back in bondage. How ridiculous for us to willfully put ourselves in bondage when God has set us free from those things. As an American, as a country, people need to start living in the reality of their present liberties. I think it's great. You can go from one state to another and you don't have to show your ID when you cross the border. You go around the world and you start going from one place to another and see how much you have to identify yourself and see how much of a oppression you have to go through and see what you have to do to be able to travel from one place to another. I'm telling you, thank God for America. So we need to believe the truth. We are free. So, yeah, well, we don't have the freedoms we used to be. I know, I bemoan the fact that we don't have the freedoms that you don't have. Oh, what we used to have when I was younger. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to embrace the liberties that I have. Because if you don't start embracing the liberties that you have, you're going to be willing to give them up to somebody else. So believe the truth. Last thing, obey the truth. There's a danger of disobedience. And the danger in 2 Peter chapter 2, and we won't read all these verses, but let me give you the fill-ins. The danger of disobedience is fleshly allurement. And if you will not obey what God says, then you will be enticed to do what the world is presenting to you rather than living according to what God has promised for you. Fleshly allurement. As a nation, as a people, as a citizen of this great country, I'm going to tell you right now, you just want to be disobedient to the laws of the land? You want to rebel against authorities that God has established? Realize this, you're going to be driven by the lust of flesh to do things that are more wicked and more wicked and more wicked. You track people's lives and see when they start disobeying the laws of the land and see how one piece of iniquity enters up into another piece of iniquity to another one, to another word, until after a while, they got a rap sheet that long. Now, let me tell you, that rap sheet that's long started somewhere with just one action of disobedience. Why? Because when you disobey, your flesh gets consumed with allurement to do more that is wrong. Liberty, that is bondage. I like how Peter says this in verse 19. He says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. You know, the more they profess, I ain't getting into it. The more they profess they're going to give all this free stuff out, realize this. The stuff they're giving out free is being given out free because they're putting somebody else in bondage. They promise liberty, but the outcome is bondage. Well, that's another message. Enlarged suffering. It only gets worse. It doesn't get better. That's what verse 20 deals with. And so it just gets worse and it gets worse because you get entangled with everything so that the latter end is worse than the beginning. Enlarged suffering, eternal consequences, verse 21 and 22. You can read that verse, but this a matter of danger of disobeying truth is that it not just has present consequences that you have to deal with, there's eternal consequences you have to deal with. Then the design of obedience is just simply this. There's a demonstration of love. Jesus is very clear, if you love me, keep my commandments. Say you love the Lord, then just why don't you do what he says? It's very simple. Instead of Christians arguing over that's a gray area in the Bible, just read it. All of our Bibles are written in black and white. Just read it and do what it says. Well, I love the Lord, but I'm not doing that. Well, demonstration of your love is obedience to the Lord. Determined blessings. Our blessings come from God. He is the one that sends them upon us when we obey him and we honor him. And so let's just determine to walk and live in the freedoms that God gives us and the blessings he sends our way. And then a delightful entering. In other words, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14 talks about when we obey the commands of God, we obey what God has directed us to do, we enjoy coming into his presence. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Obey the truth. It's a very, very simple concept here about truth shall make you free. You need to study what truth is. If you don't study what truth is, how do you know what to believe? So you study the truth, now you have something to believe. And now once you believe it, if you really do believe it, it's an automatic response is you obey it. It's as simple as that. I like what George Washington Carver said. He said this, education is the key to unlock the golden door of freedom. And if we continue in America to dumb down our educational systems, the more people will be in bondage. Hey, years ago, centuries ago, the Catholic Church had people in such bondage. Why? Because they did not allow them to read the Bible, because they told them they could not understand the Bible. The priest had to interpret the Bible and tell them what the Bible is, and they put multitudes of thousands of people in bondage. And they sent them to hell, is what they did. But I'm going to tell you, education is the key that unlocks that door, the freedom. And the more education you give somebody, the more freedom that they enjoy. I like what President Reagan said. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. And be it known tonight, when we talk about freedom, it's not just us saying, well, we're free and we're glad we're free. No, it is required of us to tell the next generation why we're free. And why is it important to be free? And how do we maintain our freedom, whether it be as an American or whether it be as a Christian? How do we maintain our freedom? It goes from generation to generation to generation. Truth shall make you free. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time of study tonight. We're thankful that we're free. Hallelujah. What a Savior to set us free. I'm thankful, Lord, for this great country we live in. We pray for your blessings upon it. God, we desperately need a move and anointing of God to maintain our freedom. And we praise you, Jesus, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.